Do you ever get to a point where you feel like you knew where you were going and you had everything all planned out, and then poof, out of nowhere, your plans change? Well, you know, sometimes, usually, plans can change because for a greater purpose. And we see this with Saul, and I don't want to re-preach everything from last week, but I do want to give you some context. So just so you remember what we had from last week, we're in chapter 10, and look at verse number 6, and would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 6, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." That phrase there, that really just, this is really what grabbed my attention here. "And shalt be turned into another man." Here we had a young man who was going one direction until the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was changed into another man. Hey. And so we're going to take a look at part two, when God changes your plans. Hey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you to be in your house tonight, Lord, as a privilege for us. We ask that you would just open up our hearts and help us to receive your word. I pray that there would be power behind your words, Lord, and you take me out of the way and just let your word be on full display and show us exactly what we need in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So just to give you a recap from last week, last Wednesday, we're talking about Saul. The people of Israel, they rejected God. They did not want, they wanted a human king, just like all the people around them, all the nations that surrounded them. They wanted to have a human king, someone physical whom they could look to. I mean, think about it for a moment. Israel did not even have, one of the commandments was not to make any graven images. So they couldn't even point to anything that represented their God. But they wanted to, and really this is more of a pride thing. So you see, the people of Israel, they want a king just like all the nations around them. And you know, God will sometimes give us exactly what we want. Just so we can find out that maybe that's not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe what we wanted isn't really what our heart's desire was when we found out all it entailed. And so that's what's happening here. God says, they've rejected me, and so I'm going to give the people what they want, and we'll see how soon they regret that choice. So we read in chapter 9, we read about Saul. And Saul, he's the son of a mighty man of power. We read such adjectives. He's choice and goodly. And we talked about that means worthy of being preferred, select, precious, very valuable, being of a handsome form, pleasant, agreeable. We read that he is head and shoulders above everyone else. We could infer from this that perhaps he was tall. He was a tall man. In other words, when we read about Saul, he has all the physical qualities that you would desire in a king. Yeah. If you were looking for the qualities of a king and Saul walked in this door right now, you'd look at him and go, yep, that's the man. That looks like a king. He just exudes all of those physical qualities. But you see, Saul never imagined in his life that he would ever be the king of anything. They didn't have a king at this time. This was not published widely that God was going to choose a king for his people. And Saul was just working for his dad. And so Saul did not know that he would be the king of anything, yet he had all the qualities. You know, God made him the perfect candidate for the king of Israel, and he never knew it. You know, God gives us talents and abilities and qualities and personality traits that are suited for a certain purpose, even if we don't know what that purpose is.
Right.
God has, when you were born, God instilled in you certain things that He could use to so that you could perform His purpose and His will, and even when you had no idea how those skills would come in handy. And I'm so thankful, and I thought about this today, that God has that foreknowledge. And God knows what lies ahead, even when I don't. Okay? I can't look 2 seconds into what's happening, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. And you know what? He holds on to my hand, and He guides me into the future. He can take me in there. I don't want to be the. I don't want to be stumbling around, wandering into it all by myself. So we read in verse 3 that Saul started out with a different purpose. The purpose was not to go find Samuel and be anointed the king. And his purpose was to go find these donkeys that had escaped from their pen. I don't know how it all happened, but evidently these donkeys had escaped, and Saul's father said, "Hey, son, I need you to go out. I don't know where they're at, but this is our livelihood we're talking about. This is how we get our work done on the family farm. This is how we, and if you don't find these donkeys, that's going to mean more labor and work on your part, so you better find them." And so Saul sets out, he takes a servant with him, and that's his purpose. His goal was to find the lost donkeys. I want you to remember that. Keep that in the back of your mind. That's what Saul's purpose was originally. Well, we see that Saul, he goes from one area and he searches around and he can't find them, so he moves to another area. And we read about this in verses 4 through 6. We see the route that he takes. Now, I like geography. Okay, that might make me a bit of a nerd, right? But I love geography, Bible geography. And you know, when you study out geography, especially of the Bible, it really puts a lot of things in perspective and in context. But if you were to trace Saul's path looking for these donkeys, he travels in a big circle, almost a loop, almost. He doesn't end up where he originally started, but he does go in a bit of a curve. And every time he would search an area, the donkeys were nowhere to be found. And eventually it gets to a point where the servant Saul tells his servant, "We better go on home, because we've been gone long enough that my father is going to quit worrying about the donkeys. He's going to worry about us." And so they were prepared to go, but the servant tells Saul, "Now wait just a minute. I know where we're at. There is a town, a village just over yonder, and they say that's where the man of God is at. And this is Samuel, the prophet." You know, we talked about Samuel not too long ago, or maybe that was in a different setting. But anyway, Samuel's the man of God here. And so he says to Saul, let's go see what the man of God has to say. Let's see what the man of God has to advise us. Maybe he can tell us where these donkeys are at. And Saul says, "Look around us. We don't have a gift to take him. All right, we've eaten the food. There's nothing to give him. What do we have?" And when they take stock of what they got, they have about a quarter shekel worth of silver to give the man. And like I said last week, don't know the exact value of this. It's hard to tell when we're talking about ancient currencies here. But the best I could figure, it's about $2.50. Not $250, $2.50. That's enough for maybe a tip. Okay, but they said, "You know what? We at least got to try." So you know what this tells me? They did not set out to meet the man of God. It's just happenstance. I love that word, happenstance, because really we see it's the providence of God. They were not prepared to meet the man of God. They did not know where their journey was going to take them. The servant just so happened to know that in this town nearby, the man of God was. So we see they enter into the city and they start talking to some of the young ladies who are fetching water that Samuel had just arrived in town. Just moments before Saul and his servant got there. How about that? Isn't that a coincidence? Isn't that a coincidental happenstance, huh? So the timing is incredible. Yeah. They just so happened to be near the city where the man of God was going to be, and before we read too much more, Samuel was talking with the Lord, and God told Samuel that when you go into this town tomorrow, I'm going to send the right man for the job to you. You don't have to go looking for him, Samuel. I will send him to you. Do you understand when God said this to Samuel, Saul was already on his way.
Yeah.
When God says, I'm going to send somebody, the answer may already be on its way. It may already be in transit. You ever get those package trackers? When you order something online and you're just waiting for it to get to your house? For me, it's Domino's Pizza. They came out with that pizza tracker, and they tell you exactly where your pizza is at. Wouldn't that be something if we had that with our prayers? God, could you tell me at what stage is my answer coming? You know, but you know what? We don't have to have that sort of thing. It's just enough to know that God has an answer.
Right.
We don't have to know exactly where it's at in transit. We just have to know that it's going to happen.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible means by waiting on the Lord. I don't know when it's going to happen, so I'll just keep waiting. I just know it will happen. So this is what Samuel is doing. He knows that God is going to send just the right man to him. And everything that had just happened thus far, I know we talked about happenstance and coincidence. It's been the hand of God.
Yeah.
Even if you look at who let the donkeys out of their pen, God did that. Sometimes we can look at a frustration in our life and think it's inconvenient to our lives.
Yeah.
And God is the one that did it.
Yeah.
Because if God did not let the donkeys out of the pen, who's to say Saul would ever make it to that village?
Yeah.
And you know, I want you to understand that it was not a direct route. Okay? So I told you, Saul went in a loop. He went in a big circle type pattern. He did not take the direct way. Could not God have just told Saul, Saul, I want you to meet Samuel, for you will be the next king. That was a terrible impression of the Lord. But anyway, he could have done that. But I don't know why. The Bible never explains to us why doesn't God do it this? Why did God take the long way around, it seems? Well, sometimes there's a greater purpose for that. For Saul, and this is just speculation, all right? For Saul, we see that he has a propensity to not do the things that God tells him to do. I've been reading through 1 Samuel in my personal devotions, and it seems like time after time after time, he just does his own thing. He has the propensity to think, I know better, and so I don't really have to do what God wants. And he just goes off and does his own thing.
Yeah.
There's a very good chance if God told Saul what he had in store for him, he may not have done it.
Right.
In fact, when it comes time to anoint him as the king, they're saying, okay, where is he? Has anyone seen him? He's tall. It should be pretty obvious. He's hiding.
Yeah.
He's hiding amongst the stuff. And God points him out and says, yeah, okay, you need to look over here. Can't play hide and seek with God. So we see that sometimes God orchestrates these things in our lives to get us to a place where we would not normally go ourselves. And so we see he gets into town and God puts his finger on Saul and he says to Samuel, that's your man. That is him. And what I found so interesting, this is in verse 17. You look at the punctuation there, there's an exclamation point. God spoke with an exclamation point. He put some extra emphasis on it. Just in case it wasn't clear, Samuel, that's the man. Whenever God brings something into your life, He often puts a little oomph behind it, a little extra emphasis, and He may put an exclamation point behind it. And Saul still did not know what's happening. He actually goes up to Samuel and says, "Do you know where I could find the man of God? I am told that he's around." He doesn't even know who Samuel is. And Samuel, I just imagine, kind of chuckles to himself. And understand that even though of all the people that Saul could have approached, he approaches the man of God himself. Don't you think God brought him there for that? God may be lining things up just perfectly, just so in the background, all the while you have no idea and no clue what's going on. We'd see how God tells Samuel, this is the man. Samuel tells Saul what God has chosen him to do. We see that Samuel tells Saul, don't even think what you originally sent out to do. Put that out of your mind. The donkeys have been found. You don't need to worry about that anymore. You have a new purpose. Here we see God took Saul's original purpose to find the donkeys and completely threw that out the window and said, I've got something new for you. And this is where I get that title, change of plans. Sometimes we set out to do one thing and God turns it on its head and says, this is really where I'm going to have you go. Wow. Sometimes God is the one that changes our plans. And so what do we do when we know that God has changed our plans? Well, number one, don't set your mind on what your original plan was to do. Wouldn't it have been foolish for Saul to say, that's nice, but I think I'll go find the donkeys? Hey, he couldn't find them up until this point.
Right?
He's probably not going to find them anymore. And Samuel tells Saul, don't worry about that. God's already taken care of it. God let the donkeys out of their pen, and God has guided them back. So understand that God's already taken care of this. This is not your concern anymore. This new thing is for you. This is what I have for you. When God changes your plan, don't be so concerned on your own direction. But God, I have to go out and find the donkeys. They've been found. This is not your purpose anymore. When God changes your plan, He wants you to focus on what He has for you ahead. Saul felt unqualified. We see in verse 21, it says, and Samuel heard all the words of the people. And chapter 9, it says, and Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Do you hear what Saul is saying? He's like, why would you pick me? I'm from Benjamin. We are a little tribe. We're not the oldest. We're not the biggest and the strongest. We're Benjamin.
Yeah.
And my family, it'd be one thing if you picked one of the great families from our tribe, but you didn't. You chose my family. I'm nobody.
Yeah.
So we see here that Saul did not feel qualified. Why are you saying these things to little old me? That's because, understand, even though he did not feel qualified, God had this specially put aside for him. And so God does not call the qualified.
Right.
He qualifies the called.
Yeah.
God's commandments are his enablings, I've heard it said. When God calls you to do something, he will then give you those strengths and those abilities and those qualities to get the job done.
Right.
It does not rely on you. I imagine Saul said this, do you not know who I am? And God said, oh, that's right. It's not Saul from Benjamin. I meant to choose Saul from Reuben. That, my mistake. God doesn't make mistakes.
That's right.
God knew exactly who he was choosing.
Yeah.
God knew exactly. God knows what he's doing. But we see in verses 2 through 5 here in chapter 10, we see a list of who Saul is to meet. And this is about where we left off from last week. When thou art departed from me today, and thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelza, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. So here's the list of all the people Saul's going to meet. Samuel says, all right, just to give you a sign that this is really from the Lord, I'm going to tell you exactly who you're going to meet on the way home. You're going to meet two men who are going to tell you, Saul, you don't need to worry about the donkeys. They've been found. Okay, your father is now waiting on you, so don't worry about the donkeys. And you know what he does? He meets those two men. And then the next group of men, it's three men. Who's going to give Saul food? Praise the Lord for that, right? God provides for our needs. And so Saul meets these men. But the third group of men, these are the ones I really want to focus on. He was going to meet a company of prophets. And they're going to have all sorts of musical instruments with them, the psaltery, the harp, tap, things like that. And they're going to be coming down and they're going to be prophesying. Now, you read about that word prophesying in the Bible. That means preaching.
Yeah.
They're going to be coming down and they're going to be proclaiming God's word to the people. And, you know, they've got musical instruments with them. It's probably not too hard to imagine. They're probably teaching in song. Songs are some of the best ways to learn things.
Right.
The Bible talks about being instructed and being taught in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So understand this: that this group of prophets are going to come down and they're going to be prophesying. And this is really where I want to spend a lot of the time. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Understand what Samuel said. He said, you're going to come across these prophets, and surprise, you're going to join in with them. Now, I'm sure Saul says, okay, now, you tell me I'm going to be the king of Israel, the first human king of our nation, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to see this company of prophets and I'm going to prophesy with them. Huh. Yeah, okay. But Samuel tells Saul, you will be changed into another man. You're not going to be yourself, Saul. You're not going to be like you once were. You're not going to be the Saul that left his father to go find the donkeys. You're going to be a different man, a different purpose. And a different man. And you are going to prophesy with the rest of them.
Right.
Now, the best I could figure, doing a little bit of research here, do you understand that many of the prophets were typically from a tribe called Levi? Saul is not from Levi. He is from Benjamin. That is not really what Benjamin is known for. Is for their companies of prophets that they produce. That's more of Levi's thing. So understand what happens here in verse number 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. You can underline that phrase there in your Bible. God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. You understand, God gave Saul a new heart. He gave him new desires. When God moves you, he will also move your desires. When God changes your plans, he will often give you something new to desire. You know that verse in the Bible that says, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart? We always like to think of that as God is like a genie. He's going to grant my wishes. But understand what that verse is talking about. God gives you the desires. Whatever your heart desires, they come from the Lord. I was told when I was called to preach, and I was praying on whether this was of the Lord or am I being caught up in the emotion of it all, my pastor spoke to me and said, let me ask you, do you genuinely desire to preach? I said, yeah, that's my desire. Do you genuinely desire to give God's word to his people? I said, yeah, that's genuinely my desire. I want to do those things. He said, do you know that's not an ordinary desire? If I could say this about preachers, preachers are kind of weird people. Okay? All right? I can say that because I is one. Okay? But preachers are typically some pretty odd people. Okay? No normal person, no ordinary person would have that kind of desire. Boy, I just got to go out and proclaim God's word. That is a special desire that God has given to that man. And so understand here, God says to Saul, I'm going to change you into another man. And I'm going to get, and he gave him a new heart, gave him a new desire to desire other things. Look at verse 10. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, just like God said. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And here's what I love in verse number 12. And one of the same place answered, said, but who is their father? Therefore, it became a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? You know what that means? When it became a proverb, we have a lot of proverbs in today's vernacular. When it's raining and it's a torrential downpour, we say it's raining cats and dogs. You don't actually expect to go outside and see cats and dogs falling from the sky. What a mess that would be, right? That becomes like a proverb, a figure of speech in our vernacular. And so here, this became such a bizarre turn of events. When people saw Saul parading down with instruments, with this company of prophets, and he's prophesying too, people started talking amongst themselves. Is that Saul? Is he among the prophets? It can't be Saul. It's got to be. Who else is that tall? Is Saul even among the prophets? And it became a figure of speech. You know, I think, you know, somebody accidentally let the gate open and one of their sheep wandered into the goat pen. And they said, what are you doing in here? Is Saul among the prophets? It was a proverb. One of these things is not like the other, right? One of these things does not belong. Does it belong? It really starts to question it. So understand, when God changes your plans, people are going to question that sort of thing. People are going to look at that and say, are you sure? Are you really sure that's what God wants you to do? You have some very well-meaning people. I want you to understand, in my life, and I might have shared this before, in my life, when I was called to preach, I wanted to pursue that calling. I had some very wonderful, loving, and very well-meaning people tell me, that's fine and all, but really, what are you going to do? You can't make a life out of being a preacher. So really, what are you going to do? I had a lot of well-meaning people in my life say that you don't belong in that profession. I actually had somebody in my life say, Jesse, you have so much talent. Why would you waste it in the pulpit? I actually had someone whom I love very much. And I understand that they meant well, but they just didn't get it. You understand, when God changes your plans, you may have it set in your mind. You may have that new heart. You may be changed into that new person, and you have that new identity, but people are sometimes not going to look at you as to what you are. They're going to look at you as what you have been up until this point. But understand, people are not going to understand it. People are not going to get it. And I'm sure Saul had a lot of splaining to do, right? Saul had lots of splaining to do to his family when he got home. But understand that when God changes your plans, not everybody's going to get it. And they don't have to, because that's not God's plan for them. It's God's plan for you. What are you going to do? Is your obedience to God going to be dependent on what other people think, or on really what God wants you to do? Understand that it may raise all sorts of questions. It may be a proverb to them. It may be a figure of speech, and people may point to you as the example of the odd one out. But hey, following God is its own reward. Following God is always, always, always worth it.
Right.
You never have to regret following the Lord. So what do we take away from this whole story about when God changes your plans? And how do we apply it to our lives? Well, sometimes God's going to change your plans, and that's okay. Because you understand His ways are higher than ours.
Amen.
And His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And
right.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
Because I can't always remember where my keys are. All right. So if I just have to, like Job, just trust. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I don't have to.
Yeah.
Because God knows, and He's always good. And that's enough for me. Is that enough for you? When God changes your plans and He causes something in your life to happen to alter your direction, are you okay with it? Just knowing who did it. Just knowing that the Lord is good and His providence is perfect. Understand that an interruption from God may be just what you needed to get you there.
Yeah.
To the place where God wanted you. Maybe God had to interrupt your plans because you were so focused on going your way that God said, whoa, now I want you over here. And so He had to plan some sort of interruption to get you there. God may have a bigger plan for you than you imagined. For Saul, it was chasing donkeys. But for God, it was the king of Israel. God has already given you qualities and strengths to prepare you for what He's got for you, even if you have no idea. And understand He's already got the details figured out. You don't need to worry about how I'm going to make it happen. Just let God make it happen.
Right.
You may never know the reason for the interruption, but it's important to know that there is a reason. When God changes your plans, forget the old ones. Focus on what God's got for you now.
Right.
Focus on this new path that God has for you. Don't be so preoccupied with where you were going. Understand, God will equip you for what He's planned for you. You may have to wait. Something I didn't talk about was Saul had to go wait 7 days and wait to meet up with Samuel. He had to wait an entire week. You know, sometimes you might have to wait. You might have to wait a little bit longer than 7 days for the answer to come, but sure enough, it will come. And a good sign that God is doing something new with you is when your desires change, when God gives you a new heart. And finally, people may question what you're doing. You may stick out like a sore thumb. People may not understand it. But just know that that is actually a sign that you're doing the right thing. understand that that is a sign that you are following the Lord and you're exactly where He wants you to be. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.